And let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 35. We're going to be moving back to our sermon series from the Psalms, which, if I remember correctly, we haven't looked at in a couple of years, actually, a year. Psalm 35. Let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also, draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those who be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon them unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I have behaved myself as though he had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and cease not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from their lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me, and say, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so we would have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this morning, we see David crying out to the Lord against those on every side, it seems, who are seeking to destroy him, who are seeking to use every opportunity against him. And yet, even as David cries for God's judgment against them and his justice against them, we notice very clearly where David's reliance is upon. His reliance isn't in his shield, isn't in his own strength. His reliance is in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is a great opportunity for us to consider that often we can't fight against those on every side who are fighting against us. It's impossible. And in these situations, and always, we are to rely upon God. We are to commit ourselves to His protection. We are to pray for His help. We are to put ourselves in reliance upon Him. And we know that He hears. And we know that He cares and provides for us. And so even when, as the psalmist, as David says, it seems like God's sleeping, it seems like God's not doing anything on His behalf, Lord, how long, verse 17, will You look on? God is providing, God is protecting, and we can rely on Him. And so, brothers and sisters, the theme that we want to see in God's Word this morning is that God's people rely on Him to protect and avenge them. God's people rely on Him to protect and avenge them. In the first 10 verses, we see that David calls God to fight for him. In verses 11 through 18, we see that David's plea is based on their ungodly animosity toward him. And in verses 19 through 28, we see that he is looking to God for vindication. David calls on God to fight for him. He calls to God for salvation. He prays that the Lord would plead his cause. Verse 1 of our psalm. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. He prays that God would plead for him, would strive, would fight on his behalf. So often we are unable to fight for ourselves. And yet, brothers and sisters, the Lord is He who fights for us. Isaiah 49:25, but thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered, for I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. God is He who contends for us. And so David prays that God would fight on his behalf. Continuing reading, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. David prays for God to fight on his behalf. Something we need to understand, God not only ordains the end of these matters. God not only says, okay, so-and-so is going to be safe and saved. No, He also ordains the manners in which these things come to pass. And part of that is when we come before Almighty God and pray that He would overthrow these wicked things. And tell Him that we rely on Him for these things. So often we say, well, God knows, and He does. But prayer is the chief part of thankfulness that which God requires of us. And the Catechism goes on to say that He will send His... why can I never think of those things when they're right on the tip of my tongue? Grace and Holy Spirit only upon those who diligently ask them of Him and render thanks unto Him for them. Prayer needs to be a central part of our being, a central part of our lives as Christians. The Apostle Paul says it continually, pray without ceasing. And so we have the opportunity, we have the grace of God to pray, to rely on Him. And David prays that God would overthrow their plots. Verses 4 and 5, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them.
He prays that God would put them to shame, that they would be brought to confusion, that they would be chaff, blown away before the angel of the Lord. Psalm 40, verses 14 and 15, let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. So David prays for God's action against his enemies. Let them be like chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord pursue them. David prays for God's fight, for his destruction of his enemies. Jeremiah 23:12, therefore, let their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them, for I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And David says and pleads his integrity, without cause they have done these things. Without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. And then the psalmist elsewhere here also reminds us that digging pits for other people is usually a problem for ourselves, and vice versa. The nations have sunk down in a pit which they made, in a net which they hid, their own foot is caught. Psalm 9, verse 15. And David here prays that their nets would catch them. Psalm 55, verse 23, but you, O God, shall bring them down in the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. We can rejoice, we can rely on God in His care for us and in His destruction of the wicked. And so, again, so often this is true. David and the psalmists, as they pray these things, they already, as they pray, rejoice as though God had already done it. And that's a very awesome thing that we have the opportunity to do as Christians. When we pray, we need to rejoice in God's hearing of that prayer and God's action. He will do that which is wise and perfect. And so we have a great opportunity to consider that. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him? Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. We rejoice in God's salvation. David is certainly speaking very much in a physical manner, but also we need to understand that these psalms apply spiritually as well. We need to understand that there is a spiritual warfare going on, and that God has not only won a physical victory for us, but that He has won the spiritual victory as well. Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. He says, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. When God delivers not only the rich, God is not a respecter of persons. God delivers those who rely upon him, no matter who they are. Psalm 70, verse 5, but I am poor and needy, make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer, O Lord, do not delay. And so we see that David calls for God to fight for him. He pleads his case, knowing that God hears his people. We continue then in verses 11 through 18, and we see that David's plea is also based on their ungodly animosity toward him. Notice the difference of attitude, and David lays this out very starkly for us in our passage this morning. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. They hate David without cause. They have rewarded evil for good. Psalm 27, verse 12, "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." God knows, even if man doesn't know. God knows. On the other hand, David says, when they were sick, verse 13, "My clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother." Remember that Jesus told us to love our enemies. And David very much exemplifies that in our passage this morning. So often, and I have to admit, I too often have taken delight when there are those who are against righteousness and, well, something bad happens to them. It's not what Jesus says we ought to do. We're to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us and wrongfully use us. That's the Christian way. When David sought God's help for their illness, he prays for them. He paces about. He puts on sackcloth. He bows down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. Job 30, verse 25, "Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor?" And what is their response? "But in my adversity," verse 15, "they rejoiced and gathered together, attackers gathered together against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease." Instead of caring for David, they gathered together against him when he was weak and in trouble. And so often, that's true, isn't it? And when we realize that David says, "I didn't even know it, they were doing this," we realize that we can rely on God even when we have no idea where the attack is going to come from. No idea where the trouble is going to come from. We rely on God and on His grace. If we remember Jesus teaching about the unforgiving servant, Matthew 18, verse 30, "And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt." We remember that Jesus is very critical of those who kick people when they're down, who take advantage of weakness. And we need to be very careful not to be involved in that. We need to be honorable as Christians. And yes, it's hard. And we live in a world that's very twisted. The world David lived in was more twisted than our world, brothers and sisters. We need to understand that. The world of Israel, the world of the Philistines around, the world of all the things that were going on at his time, was no better and almost certainly far worse than our world. What did they do with kings when they caught them and found them? They killed them. Sounds like the Middle East today. Very similar. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand something. Even when we can't know who's going to attack where, even when the things that are coming at us come from every direction, we can rely. We can put our hope, we put our prayers and our trust in God alone. They were mocking David on every side, and he calls God to action. Psalm 7, or verse 17, "Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people." How long? And brothers and sisters, so often we ask that question ourselves. How long? God knows. God brings His salvation. God brings His protection at the proper time. But Jesus asks, says, you have not because you do not ask. You not have because you ask to use it amiss on your own desires. We need to be careful to spend our time in prayer, placing what we need before the throne of grace. I'm the first to admit I have not done my full job as I ought to in prayer. Brothers and sisters, we need to be people of prayer, spending our time before the throne of grace, crying out to the Lord, placing the things that we need, placing our lives, our protection in His hands, instead of illicitly grabbing and taking them to ourselves. Remember David. How often he ran away. He didn't stand up and say, look at me, I'm king. Look at me, I've been anointed. Look at me. But he let people do evil to him. And God provided, God protected. God gave. And so often we think, well, we're going to get it ourselves. We're going to win all of these battles on our own. We need to put our trust and our prayers before the throne of grace. How long? Yes, often it feels way beyond the time. But God brings it about in His perfect timing. Psalm 93, verse 3. Lord, how long will the wicked, triumph? Rescue me, He says. And He says, I'll praise you. I will give thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Psalm 22:25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear Him. So David says, look at how they have treated your people. Look at how they've treated David, me, from his perspective. And he says, I look to you, God, for vindication. I don't look to my own might, my own strength. Let them not rejoice over me. He says, they hate me without cause. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink at me with the eye who hate me without a cause. Let them not rejoice over me. Proverbs 17, verse 5, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. There's a lot of comfort in those words when we consider some of the things going on in our nation at this time. They devise evil against the quiet ones. Verse 20, for they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They do not speak peace. Shalom in Hebrew. So often people are looking every which way instead of to God, to His peace. And we need to be people of peace and of trust in God, not in ourselves. And God cares for those who put their trust in Him. As Jesus says, blessed are the meek. We don't need to be raucous and nasty. We need to put our trust in God to go where He sends, don't get me wrong, but to trust in Him alone. He says, they're loud against us. They also open their mouth wide against me and have said, aha, aha. Our eyes have seen it. Their desires seem to have come to be. Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it, he says. Even after the fact, David is praying that God would reverse it. Very interesting, isn't it? David puts his trust in God even after things have gone against him. Our eyes have seen it, they say. He calls to God for vindication. He says, Lord, you've seen it. This you have seen, verse 22, O Lord. Do not keep silence, O Lord, do not be far from me. God has seen it. David calls him from silence. David prays that he would not be far from him. Stir up yourselves and awake to my vindication, to my cause, O my God and my Lord. Awake, let them not rejoice over me. Of course, we know that God isn't sleeping on the job, isn't sleeping on the switch. We know that God is waiting for the perfect time. Brothers and sisters, we also need to put our trust in Him. We need to put our prayers to Him, calling to Him to provide, calling to Him to vindicate, calling to Him to turn the wicked to good. Let them not rejoice over me, he says. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. And let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my heart. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. This is great prayer, I think, for today in our culture. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. What does our culture so desire? To look good. It is my prayer that the wickedness and the sin would be uncovered. That these nice words people use to talk about it would be stripped away, so that our culture would see the ugliness of the things which it is doing. We need to see, and we need our eyes opened by the grace of God. Let them be ashamed. Psalm 109:29, let my accusers be clothed with shame and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. They're covered with it. Problem is, they've done a pretty good job of hiding it. Well, we need to pray that that would be uncovered. And David concludes the psalm calling for a rejoicing in God's righteousness. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. We are to rejoice in God's righteousness. Let those who favor righteousness shout to the Lord's praise. Psalm 40, verse 16, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 34, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And my tongue, verse 28, shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. We are to tell of God's righteousness. Psalm 71:15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask us all a question. How often do we speak about God's righteousness? How often do we speak of what God has done for us in salvation? David doesn't just say, hey, for half an hour on Sunday morning we're going to talk about it. Maybe once a month or a few times a month, other what place. Continually. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Brothers and sisters, our God is a gracious God to us. He has brought those who are poor and needy, who are weak, into His presence. He has given us grace and salvation beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. And He has promised to protect us, to provide for us. And we can rely on Him. But notice one of the big themes of this psalm. Again and again, even as David considers the mockers, as David considers those who would tear him down, he says, I'm going to tell of God's grace. I'm going to tell of God's righteousness. I'm going to tell of God's protection of his salvation. We don't have to beat people over the head with it. I don't think that's what's necessary here. But too often our lips are so zipped it never escapes our mouth. And I think that we need to change that. Give glory to our God when he gives us good things. To pray for his help when we need it. And brothers and sisters, we need it far more than we ever consider. Amen. Let us rise and bow before our God in prayer. Let us conclude this prayer with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Almighty God, indeed we come before you in thanksgiving that we can place our needs before your holy throne. We pray, O Lord, that you would bring to confusion, that you would bring to dishonor those who would overturn your church, who would destroy it. We pray, O Lord, that the ugliness of their sins might be brought to the fore and the outcomes thereof. Indeed, O Lord, we pray that righteousness might shine forth in truth and that indeed your name might be glorified and honored. We pray, O Lord, that you would do this through us. We pray, O Lord, for your protection, for your care for us as your people, for your church, to the ends of the earth. We pray, O Lord, that you would rule and overrule within this world. That those who are unmerciful, that those who wrongfully seek the destruction of your church, might be turned to nothing. We thank you, O Lord, that we can put our reliance in you. Even as there are many from many sides, which we cannot even begin to number, who seek the destruction of your people and of your church. We pray, O Lord, that your church might stand firm upon your gospel, upon your word, that you would use it as a light to the nations. We pray, O Lord, that we might be a light to this nation. You would use us to call back those who have lost sight of the truth and have turned to darkness. We pray, O Lord, confessing we are unworthy of the least of your benefits ourselves. So, Lord, we rely in these things only in our gracious, our magnificent Savior. And we stand in awe that he has paid our debt in full. And so, Lord, we come before you in thanksgiving, in praise to your holy name, in thanksgiving for the salvation which you have given to us. And we pray, O Lord, in praise of your righteousness, your holiness, that you are the perfectly righteous God. And we pray, O Lord, for righteousness in our lives, that we might give glory and honor to you. We pray these things in thanksgiving and in awe for the sake of our Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.